But it'll be an interesting one to watch.
Jesus. There's no sun up in the sky.
There's no sun up in the sky.
Stormy weather.
Stormy weather.
Stormy weather is coming just in time for the weekend.
Yeah,
always seems to go that way. Lena Horne may be fired because she tends to bring a lot of rainy weekends our way. But for tonight,
I love some rainy weekends.
What you see is what you get. It's a pleasant enough night outside. Going to be a little bit on the warm side. Lows in the mid-60s tonight. Chance of a shower around somewhere. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Highs in the mid-70s. Lows in the upper 50s. Still on the humid side. Friday becomes a little bit more pleasant. Mostly sunny skies. High around 70 degrees. Lows again in the mid-50s. Saturday, showers in the morning, which pretty much kills any hope of yard work. Highs only in the low 60s, lows right around 60 degrees on Saturday, and then Sunday, yep, more showers. These are going to be in the afternoon, so maybe you can mow the lawn in the morning. High around 80 degrees, lows in the mid-60s Sunday night. Monday, think you put off the yard work and do it early next week. Showers, high around 70 degrees, lows in the mid-50s. So, little unsettled early summer weather coming our way. Summer starts tomorrow whenever the sun goes down. It is the solstice tomorrow. That is the longest day of the year. Tonight is summer's eve.
You can keep playing hopscotch and playing with your jump rope until like 9 o'clock.
It is summer's eve as we look forward to another wonderful, long, hot summer here on WMFO Medford. When we come back, all the other stories that caught our attention this week.
Wholesomeness, quality, convenience, value for your dollar. These are just a few things to consider when you're buying beef for your freezer. Basically, you have three choices. You can buy beef as a side or a quarter, you can buy wholesale cuts, or you can choose retail cuts. And deciding which to buy, you should consider the amount of beef you can store in your freezer, the amount your family can use in a reasonable time, and the kinds of meat your family enjoys. If your family likes steak, for example, it's probably best to buy a large quantity of the kind they like when it's a featured special at your retail store. A side of beef, on the other hand, will give you about one-third steaks, one-third roast, and one-third stew or ground beef. If you want to learn more about buying meat for your freezer, we have some free information. Write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
MFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is my co-host and partner in crime, Derek Gary. Now for one of our favorite sections of the program, which is called Did You Hear? Where we try to make each other look stupid over not knowing what happened last week.
And we're going to go through this lickety-split so that I can scare people later. Keep that in mind.
Okay, let's start off with a same-sex wedding.
Same-sex wedding. Somebody wants one. And they were told
they can't have one.
No,
quite the opposite, actually.
Oh, somebody wants one and they're actually getting one?
Mm-hmm.
Are we sure this is America?
No, it's not America.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, it's never that simple. Somebody doesn't want to bake a cake or who knows what's going on.
Just over a month after Prince Harry married American actress Meghan Markle, the extended British royal family will have its first same-sex wedding. Lord Ivar Mountbatten a distant cousin of Queen Elizabeth II, will marry his partner, James Coyle, later this summer. He met Coyle in a Swiss ski resort and came out publicly in 2016, becoming the first member of the extended British royal family to do so. He divorced his ex-wife, Penny, with whom he has three daughters, in 2011.
Well, that's unfortunate.
And, oh, they're still friends, which is noted by the fact that she will be giving her former husband away at the event.
Oh, okay. So that's
this story made me very happy to read.
Maybe Prince Andrew will be there and have a...
Have an epiphany?
Yes, have an epiphany. Maybe. Chris Hardwick.
Is super hot. Like, stupid hot.
You didn't read the news this past week, did you?
Oh, God. Something bad happened.
You did not read the news this past week.
I mean, I read the news this past week, but apparently I missed the Chris Hardwick aspect.
Safe to watch AMC again. Chris Hardwick is gone. He's also gone from San Diego Comic-Con. Why?
What?
His former girlfriend, Chloe Dykstra, put a post up online. She did not mention him by name, but described an extremely abusive relationship. And people put two and two together and figured out it was Chris Hardwick.
Oh, that must have been a big stretch for them.
Yeah. among other things, she had an ectopic pregnancy at one point. And as she was recovering in the hospital, the first question that Chris Hardwick allegedly asked her doctor was, when can I start having sex with her again? According to Chloe Dykstra.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. I did read about this. I thought it said Hemsworth. That's why I did not.
According to
Sorry, Chris Hemsworth. I didn't mean to think that was you.
Chris Hemsworth's fine. You can go see Thor movies all day long. according to Chloe Dykstra, he expected sex every single night when he came home, whether she wanted it or not, and forbade her.
To be fair, I do too. Any guy that's thinking of dating me.
Forbade her from drinking, forbade her from talking to other men, forbade her from acknowledging him in public for a while. There are a lot of allegations here that do not paint Mr. Hardwick in a good light.
As they would not. My goodness.
Couldn't have happened to a more overexposed guy.
Right? Oh, my goodness. I still can't believe that I mixed. Anyways.
Still think he's super hot?
Nope, not at all. Chadwick Boseman.
He's Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see anything about Chadwick Boseman because I was busy reading the Chris Hardwick stuff.
Well, Chadwick Boseman won the Best Hero Award during the MTV Movie and TV Awards Monday night, but he quickly handed it off to James Shaw Jr., who wrestled an assault rifle away from a gunman at a Tennessee Waffle House in April.
Nicer.
Yeah. He said, "This is going to live at your house," giving Shaw the show's golden popcorn statue. I know we all know what that looks like.
Yeah.
But the actor said that while it was an honor to be recognized for playing a superhero in a Marvel blockbuster, I'm like tearing up reading this. It was more important to, quote, acknowledge the heroes we have in real life.
Nice. Nice. I like that.
Yeah. I thought that was, as I really wanted to, I almost made this the entertainment story, but I thought it'd be more fun to see if you knew it.
Okay. General Electric.
The CEO gave me a really good tip when I served him one time.
No.
Oh, that wasn't in the news?
No, that wasn't
about
in the news.
About 14 years ago?
Nope.
No idea.
Will be removed from the Dow Jones Industrial Average on June 26th and replaced with Walgreens. General Electric is one of the original 30... General Electric is one of the original 30 stocks.
I'm dry heaving. That's what that sound is.
In the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
I know. That's why I'm dry heaving.
And has been in the average for 110 years. Unfortunately, it has been badly managed for the last 10 or so, well, 15, 20 or so
11
years. Yeah. And because of that, they actually made up the smallest component of the Dow.
Well, that was one of the biggest jokes on 30 Rock, was just that GE was so...
Yeah, not anymore.
The best joke on 30 Rock was, "This is GE. No, it's just G now." Yeah. I sold the E to Samsung.
Yeah.
They're Samsung now.
It's interesting that Walgreens gets in here because they're a retailer. and you don't think of anything in retail really doing much of anything in the U.S. economy right now, but they are one of the leading destinations for healthcare in the United States.
That is, so, I mean, I'm a Walgreens.
Yeah, nobody's happy.
What's the word? I'm a Walgreens
victim. No one's happy to go to Walgreens.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'd prefer CVS, Rite Aid,
patron,
Wayne Reed.
Yeah, you're a Walgreens patron.
Literally anything else. No, Walgreens is like, I'm an expat from Walgreens. That's the word I'm trying to look for.
Oh, okay.
It's like, I used to go to Walgreens.
Oh,
and
you're part of the Walgreens diaspora.
Yes, precisely. Archdiocese.
Of
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. This isn't the one with the cardinal that was, the cardinal that was accused of molesting a minor back in the mid-1970s. He has stepped down.
Nearly 50 years ago.
And apparently, there's only one case they think that involved someone underage. He doesn't remember it. Of course, they never remember it. Guy's 87.
But
he had a number of relationships with adult parishioners, which you don't get to do when you're the cardinal.
Yes. And two of those accusations resulted in secret settlements. The other one is the reason that he was forced to step down.
Yeah.
Because the one by a child was just like, oh, whatever. Like, maybe he did that just like Boston did. But come on. I don't get why anyone's shocked by this anymore. I mean,
it was a thing in the church at that point in time, apparently.
At that point in time, I mean, there are men forced to not get married or have sex.
Yeah. Because that's natural.
I'm not legitimizing it. I'm just saying, like, are any of us really that surprised that stuff like this happened?
Yeah. United Nations Human Rights Council.
I have notes on this. It's about Puerto Rico? No.
No.
Nope. Tell me.
We quit. We left.
Oh, I already knew that.
We were, no.
I didn't know that was news.
We left yesterday. Like, we quit the UN Human Rights Council yesterday.
Oh, I thought we left the UN like a month ago.
No. We're still in the UN. United States Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, called the UN Human Rights Council, quote, a cesspool of political bias, end quote, and cited a, quote, chronic bias against Israel as the reason for the withdrawal. Now, everybody's jumping. Like, oh, my God, we left the Human Rights Council. It doesn't mean anything anymore. Here's some of your members on the Human Rights Council, by the way. Russia. That's a great country for human rights. China.
Dum-dums.
The Philippines. You know, that country where Duterte.
Where there are all those prostitutes.
You know, that country where Duterte has, like, squads roaming the streets shooting people. They're on the Human Rights Council. Rwanda. How about the Democratic Republic of the Congo? They're on the UN Human Rights Council. I don't blame us. The way that it works is you are chosen, you are selected by the United Nations to a 3-year term on the Human Rights Council. Our term was going to end next year anyway. So this is basically grandstanding by the Trump administration and basically saying, you know what, this is a joke. We're not wasting our time with you anymore. You go have fun discussing human rights with Duterte and the government of the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Our world is so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, it baffles me sometimes just how... And you know that everyone is going to make an enormous deal out of this as well. Like, this is going to be so hardcore important. Speaking of hardcore important, WHO.
The World Health Organization.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I saw something about this. The World Health Organization issued a warning about...
They didn't issue a warning. They removed something.
They removed a warning.
They removed something as being listed in the international classification.
Oh, yes. The World Health Organization announced today that they will no longer consider transgender or gender dysmorphic disorder.
Transsexualism.
Transsexualism or gender dysmorphic disorder as a mental illness.
Yes.
So congratulations, transgender people. The World Health Organization says you're sane.
Yeah. this means that the removal of this means transgender people will no longer be classified as having a mental illness, which is, that's why I thought that's what you were talking about with the UN, because the UN recognized it today.
Yeah.
But it's been renamed gender incongruence and moved from the mental and behavioral disorders chapter to the conditions related to sexual health chapter of the public health agency.
Okay. So that puts it in the same category as AIDS and herpes and gonorrhea and chlamydia and the clap. Though.
I mean, it's just like...
Is mental illness to AIDS a step up?
It's a step up in terms of the classification being something that's just like, this is something about your sexual organs, instead of this is something wrong with your mind.
Yeah. No, I
know, as a person who has a mental disorder, it's always nice when somebody doesn't say, or somebody makes a point to not classify it as you being crazy.
Right. No, I'm being facetious for the sake of,
oh, really?
Entertainment value.
I was going to tear off this microphone and throw it at you.
Yes. No, that's you know. Brooks Koepka.
Was that a word?
Yeah. You're not going to get this.
Brooks
Koepka. You should get this, but you're not going to get this.
Oh, that is the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
But it is a major, major, major story in the world of sports, in a sport that you don't follow or care much about.
Oh, so it's about either soccer or golf.
Correct.
The dude. I actually watched this. The U.S. Open.
Yes.
Or is that what it's called? The stupid golf thing,
yes,
that
US
everyone
Open.
Does. He won.
He did.
Yes. Okay. He won. That's all I know.
But I
watched this involuntarily while bartending the other day, by the way.
The bigger point.
Because screw golf. It is the most boring sport. I thought bowling was boring to watch. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disrespect you, bowling. Golf is more boring.
You play skee ball competitively. I'm going to leave it at that.
I'm sorry. I rule at skee ball competitively. And I don't make anyone watch me do it.
Now, Brooks Koepka, back to Brooks Koepka, who is worthy of our attention.
It's a dumb name, dude.
He's young.
Oh, he's hot, though.
He's young, and he spent a lot of time playing in Europe. He's
probably Brooks Koepka.
The next big thing in U.S. golf. But here's the deals, please.
Quick orgasm. What's up?
First golfer to win back-to-back U.S. Opens.
Wait, he's won twice?
He won twice in a row.
Oh, no.
Since Curtis Strange did it in 1988 and 1989, he is only the seventh golfer to achieve that in U.S. Open history. And the U.S. Open has been going on since the 1800s.
He's 28.
This is like Triple Crown.
That's crazy pants.
This is like Triple Crown level achievement in sports.
I was saying, this is like Tiger who?
I always like to update people on the sports trivia, and this is a sports trivia question that you will hear. Who was the last person to win back-to-back U.S. Opens? It is no longer Curtis Strange.
It's Brooks Koepka.
It is Brooks Koepka.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I'm just reveling in how hot that dude is.
Yeah, he's married. Sorry.
I'll just wait for him to get divorced. It's fine. Instagram.
Instagram announced that they have 1 billion members, and they are going to launch a new video service.
That part.
To compete with YouTube. This isn't going to be one of those things where you can go in and just upload your own stuff. They're going to start out partnering with people who make video, like known online creators, and maybe somewhere down the road you'll be able to upload your long-form video.
Oh, no, they changed it, actually, this afternoon.
So they're going to let you upload your own stuff?
Yeah. Nice. So it's going to be called IGTV. The new feature will let anyone post videos lasting up to 1 hour and encourage any individual to start their own channels, which is their way of trying to edge the company into YouTube's territory.
There is going to be so much porn on Instagram by this weekend.
And the videos, this is the... this is the big clincher of it. They're also stealing from Snapchat, essentially, because the videos will be allowed to be in vertical format, which is not available on YouTube unless you want. I know.
Terrible.
Like, vertical format is dumb stuff. But, I mean, pictures say, I can understand the reasoning because, say there's a super tall dude who can dunk a basketball and you want to take a video of it. Wouldn't you prefer to have that without the unnecessary left and right and just be able to have it be him in his tallness dunking the basketball?
It works in photography. It does not work with moving images.
It does if you know how to record moving images.
No, it really doesn't, because there's no context
to that. Trust me, it's my brain hurts learning about this.
I won't argue. I mean, film major here. I won't argue with you that there
here too
that there are that there are limited uses for vertical photography that you can get away with it and vertical moving images. But the bigger problem is we want to see the context, and when you've got the verticals, either everything is so tiny to get the context, or there is no context for the image. And either one of those is dissatisfying to us as a viewer. That's why we reject vertical video when we see it. Turn the phone sideways. That's all you gotta do.
Honestly, I think it also, not to get too existential, but I think it also has to do with the fact that that's the way we see the world, is just with your peripheral and what you see in front of you and whatnot. It's, we see the world in a TV framed.
Yeah. We have peripheral vision for a reason.
Yeah.
We like having it.
And, it seems weird to have something just like tall and in front of us.
Indeed.
Even though I am often that thing. We'll get to that in another show. Last one for you.
Yeah, a couple in here that I could do.
I know. I'm so excited to see what you decide on.
I gotta go with this one. Smokers
are the coolest people ever and should stop having people tell them they're going to die earlier.
Okay. Yeah. Not going to argue with that, but that's not the story.
I have no idea.
Put them on the endangered species list, and not necessarily because they smoke. Data from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control found that just 13.9% of Americans smoked in 2017, down from 15.5% in 2016, and more than 40% of adults in 1966. If you live in the city, only 11% of the kids smoke. Those are the cool kids, by the way, and the club kids and the kids you want to hang out with. In the city, only 11% of cool kids smoke, while the folks out in the sticks smoke at a rate of around 22%. So if you're looking for smoking buddies, you're going to find them on the farm more readily than you will find them in the city.
I don't need more friends.
Those are some stunning numbers. And that tells you the deterrent effect. Here's the problem. Here's the real problem. All these cigarette taxes that they've put.
I was going to say, that's the thing. It's not even a matter of people wanting to quit smoking. It's a matter of people wanting to save money and reluctantly quitting smoking as a result of that. I was even speaking to my sister about this, because my siblings, as our listeners know, because I talk about it all the time, my siblings live in New York City. And the last time I visited them, a pack of cigarettes, I usually just stock up here and then, like, you know, for the amount of days I'm going to be there. There was one day that I needed a pack of cigarettes, and it was $19.
Yeah.
For a pack of Marlboro Light shorts.
Yeah.
And that's what I went back to my sister's house and was like, are you kidding me? And she was like, that's the thing, is that they're making it so that it's a rich person's luxury.
Correct.
Like, that is the fact that you, who I am regularly broke, but the fact that you smoke cigarettes, that's what they're trying to get rid of. I still do, though.
But they've
take
also
that, government.
But they've also made it, in so doing, and this is where it starts to go the other way, in making it a rich person's habit, they've made it a status symbol and a symbol of wealth. So if you are outside the club, if you are outside the exclusive restaurant smoking a cigarette, you're basically telegraphing, oh yeah, I'm a rich person. And what do the kids like to do? They like to emulate the rich.
Well, the irony is that when I quit smoking when I moved to Seattle, And then I moved to LA and cigarettes were $6 a pack.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
they love them some smoking in Los Angeles.
Yeah, like everyone's skinny and doesn't eat.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do?
That's it.
But smoke cigarettes.
Exactly. if it wasn't for cigarettes, there would be a lot of dead actresses and dead models like all over Los Angeles because they'd realize how hungry they were and that would be the end of it. 855-915-9636. On the Town with Mikey D is coming up at 9 o'clock tonight here on WMFO Medford. But before that, we got a little bit more big picture to go. We are going to scare the hell out of you. Stick around.
We like doing that.
Stick around for a few minutes, and we are going to scare the daylights out of you.
Bum, bum, bum.
With a story that came out from the Associated Press earlier this week that is one of the most horrifying things I think any American could ever hear. So we'll scare the heck out of you, and maybe find a way to overcome the fear.
Right, you are tossing so much gravy on this. I love it.
Right after this here on WMFO Medford.
International struggles of our world may lead to
nuclear holocaust.
To survive, you must have protection from radioactive fallout.
In the past, heavy equipment necessitated a long, costly operation for out-of-home shelter installation.
Today, Survive-All basement-type shelters offer a combination steel and concrete do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved, Survive-All offers maximum protection from fallout and falling debris, plus a basic equipment kit for family survival.
There's low initial cost and FHA approval. Nothing down in 5 years to pay.
For your family's protection, see a Survive-All shelter today.
WMFO Medford 91.5. You are listening to The Big Picture. And if you want to give us a call, you can. It'd be cool at 855-915-WMFO. I'm not going to give you the number correlation to that. You can figure it out yourself.
855-915-9636. People like numbers.
People are dumb.
No, they're not. Well.
Well, actually, that brings us to our next point.
Oh, boy.
Which is how many people blindly believe what they're told? Derek?
Okay. I said I was going to scare you tonight. I was horrified. This is one of the first...
This is terrifying.
This is one of the first things that I came across on Monday.
That's why I stumbled a little bit there, because I was like, I don't even know how we're going to begin to talk about this.
I was a little keyed up from Brooks Koepka and, you know, eating good food and having a nice weekend and all the rest. And walking on Monday morning, and this is sitting in the news. The Pew Research Center, you probably know who they are. They conduct tons of public opinion polls about everything. Where Rasmussen, which is the other name that everybody knows, and Gallup, which is another well-known organization, they mostly focus on political trends. They're the ones that ask people, who are you going to vote for? Who are you likely to vote for? How do you feel about this issue? Pew is nonpartisan. Pew is interested in broader trends in society. And they spoke to 5,035 Americans over the age of 18. What they discovered is frightening.
I would say that I would feel better about this if it was 14-year-olds.
Yeah. 5,000 voting age Americans. This is an important distinction.
Yes, yes.
So what they did in this survey was they gave all 5,035 of these people five factual statements, such as spending on Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid made up the largest portion of the U.S. federal budget. That is a fact. So they gave them five facts, and they gave them five opinion statements, such as democracy is the greatest form of government. That is not a fact. That is an opinion. So they gave them these 10 statements. And they said, we want you to tell us which of these 10 statements are facts and which of these 10 statements are opinions. I don't know if they knew that there were five and five. I didn't see the full breakdown of the survey, but I suspect they may have communicated that. I don't know. Here's where this gets horrifying. 35% could identify the five opinion statements. So that's about a third of the American people could identify the five.
Yes.
That's bad. Okay.
We would like it to be, I mean, at best, I would prefer it to be two-thirds.
Yeah.
Like, at least a vast majority, or at least even a modest majority, like a general majority.
And what are the two great realities of statistics in America? That
most people are dumb.
That I bring these up over and over again. About a third of Americans agree with any one particular position,
if it's presented to them.
And 10% of Americans hold a completely whacked out opinion on any subject under the sun. Those are as sure as death and taxes.
Oh, God.
Only 35% could identify the five opinion statements. That's bad. This is where it gets terrifying.
It's getting worse. It's about to get worse.
Only 26%, 5,035 U.S. adults over the age of 18, voting age, only 26% could identify the five factual statements. 25% got most or all of the facts and opinions wrong.
Hey, guys, if you hear a weird sound over my microphone, it's because I'm dry heaving out of disgust with our country. Like that? Like,
so,
that's what that is.
So here's what this means. A quarter of Americans can't tell the
can't
difference.
Can't tell the difference between anything.
Between
you
anything.
Tell them, you could tell them that the, like, it could play on NBC News that the sky is green, and they'd be like, you're dumb for saying the sky's blue.
25%.
Mm, mm, mm.
25% of your fellow Americans have no idea what the difference is between a fact and an opinion. They read something, and they're like, yep, that's true. I read it, therefore it's true.
Well, to be fair, like I said, I would be less bothered by this if it was teenagers, because I remember I was talking about that class I took in college earlier, and it was called Communication and Media Industries, and that's where I found out that six companies controlled everything and blah, 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 blah. But that's also where it was the first time, and I hate to say at 19 was the first time I realized this, but it was the first time I realized that, like, news is biased. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's not... Like, I remember, that's when I started watching Irish and British news instead of American news, just to get the actual proper news about our country, because they have no stake in this fight. I mean, they have some stake, but not as much as the people producing the news in our country.
Unfortunately, that doesn't work anymore, particularly
I'm talking about over a decade ago.
Yeah, it doesn't work anymore, particularly if you consume British news media.
But I mean, like, things like Reuters and the Associated Press, and those are the things that you can at least generally rely upon.
Right.
Whereas, I mean, after that happened, that's why even when I do research for this show, I look at Fox News, I look at NBC News, I look at CNN, I look at the Washington Post, I look at everything to find the middle wherein lies the truth.
Right.
Because if there's anything I learned from fighting with my brother growing up and having my father reprimand the two of us at the same time, is that the middle is where the truth lies.
You've been trained to do it right. And this is the thing.
But that's the thing. Is like, and that's, if a 14-year-old was taking everything they saw on whatever news channel their parents watched as verbatim truth, I let that slide. But if someone my age is walking, given that I am slightly more trained in reading the news and watching the news and all of that, but nonetheless, if someone my age doesn't even have the peak of questioning this, of is this entirely true? Should I maybe look at, I don't know, one other news source to verify the information that I'm getting, instead of just blindly being like, oh, my parents watched NBC, so I'm going to watch NBC. So everything's going to be about what NBC says, and that must be true. Even doing research for the show, I'll look at, NBC is one of the first things I look at, just because they get the biggest leads, just in terms of the story at its baseline.
CBS is better on their Pentagon coverage, but NBC's all right.
Screw the Pentagon.
CBS has really good Pentagon coverage, is what I'm saying. NBC, you know, that's the network of Edward R. Murrow.
Let me put it this way. They have...
Mad respect.
They have the... NBC has the most widespread coverage. So in terms of wanting to look for national news, entertainment news, local news, across the board, they usually get the first leads.
Yeah.
That being said, I open NBC News and I'm like, some of this is clearly like, you guys hate Trump, and I can't take anything.
Oh, yeah.
I can't take anything you say about our president seriously. And I don't love him, but at the same time, I would like to get facts.
Yes.
I wouldn't like to get, this is why Donald Trump is messing this up.
And this is why,
blah, blah, blah. And it's not under an opinion story. It's under national news.
And here's what the world was in the pre-digital age, in the age that I grew up in.
I grew up there a little.
If you watched, if you got your news from television, people thought you were an idiot. That's what it was in the 70s and 80s. If you got your news from television, one of the most, because I was in journalism school when ABC first made the claim, more Americans get their news from ABC News than any other source. And it was horror and pandemonium in the journalism school, because everyone's sitting around and they're saying, this is wrong, this is bad, we can't have this. If you watch TV news, if you got your news from TV news when I was growing up, you were an idiot. And my history professor and my law, or my history teacher in high school, my law teacher in high school, my Latin teacher in high school, half of my professors in college all said the same thing. Read three newspapers every day. Because Boston had two newspapers at that point. And the third one was your choice. You can either read the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, or you can read your hometown newspaper. Read three newspapers every day.
I would say, well, that's even when I was in college, which was, like I said, it was 10. I graduated in 2008. So this was, the internet was well on its way. Like, it was a big information source already. Every single one of my teachers said, if you give me, I want 10 sources. If you give me more than one internet source, I'm giving you an F. And the internet source better be reputable. It better be, and they're like, go to the library.
Yeah.
Like, get it out of a book. Which, by the way, was especially difficult when I wrote my college thesis about Facebook, which had existed for 4 years.
Yeah.
You want to know how many books were written about Facebook 4 years after it came out?
Probably not too many.
No, not many at all.
Yeah.
I literally went to my academic advisor and was like, what do I do? But I ended up, like, I reached out to Facebook in general and was just like, how many books are written about your company? I need nine now. I'm writing a 50-page paper on you.
Yeah. Like, Mark, can you write a book, please, now?
Hey, homeboy. Well, of course, and then after
that. Send me your e-books.
Like, literally 5 years later. And I didn't publish my thesis. I was literally just to be able to graduate. But the irony being that, I mean, I got the paper done. I used some really random sources. But I got the 50 pages, I got an A, and I never published it because I was like, what's the point of publishing my stupid paper on Facebook?
But here's...
Within 5 years of me graduating, 400 books about Facebook,
yeah,
and the way that it changes the way we communicate, which was the entire thesis of my thesis.
I should have published. Here's the problem.
Came out.
Here's the issue. We live in a republic. That's what...
When technically, we live in a commonwealth.
Benjamin Franklin is walking out of Independence Hall, and an elderly woman walks up to him and says, what kind of government have you given us, Mr. Franklin? To which Ben Franklin replies, a republic, if you can keep it. And that is one of the most critical quotes in all of U.S. history. If you can keep it. We have given you a republic. We have given you self-determination. We have given you the purest, most representative form of democracy that exists on this planet.
Yeah, if you don't mess it up.
Now it's your responsibility.
Yeah.
And part of your responsibility in keeping this republic is being informed. When a quarter of our country cannot tell the difference between a fact and an opinion, and little more than a quarter of our country can identify facts, we are losing our republic. This is a clear and present danger to the United States of America.
That's the first PG-13 movie I saw.
But that's what this is.
This really is
an existential threat to the United States of America.
Well, I mentioned earlier about my Dutch friend being like, why are you one country? And then my brother being like, they're doing the same thing. Like, that's why. But now that I've been to, at this point, I've been to 42 of our great United States. And the biggest thing I took away from it was...
A lot of dumb out there?
That. I guess, yeah. That's,
a whole lot of stupid out there.
That's the biggest thing I took away from it. But the second biggest thing was, why are we one country? And sometimes I honestly think, like... I honestly think that... And don't get me wrong, I do not misinterpret this. I don't think that slavery should be legal in any capacity. That being said, sometimes...
I'm not a racist, but go ahead.
Sometimes I think maybe it wouldn't have been the worst thing for the South to secede. For them to be a different country
just
than
to
us.
To get rid of them.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, Texas over... No, I like Texas. So, next to Texas over... Mason-Dixon line, just take take them out of the picture.
Because
honestly, and don't get me wrong, I love Southern food. I've been to, like, Arkansas was awesome. I loved Little Rock. Especially if any of you are ever in Little Rock, totally go to the Bill Clinton Museum. It's dope. And it's right next to the river. It's beautiful.
You get a simulated groping when you go in there, I heard.
No, you just get a simulated stain on your dress. But it just generally, like, even, I mean, my best friend in L.A. Was a very butch black lesbian. And I was talking to her about how I was like, I got to get all 48 contiguous before I die. I've got to. I've got 6 left. And she was like, word, what's the next one going to be? And I was like, I think I'm going to do a sweep of the South. I'm going to do like Alabama and Mississippi. She's like, yeah, you can go there, and pointed to my skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's gross. It's gross. It's gross. That's the only way I can describe it. That there are people that I couldn't hang out. And I'm straight and I'm white and I'm a Southern man's dream. I'm also Catholic, if that it comes
in. They don't cotton to that down there.
Yeah. Christian. They will like that part.
They don't like the Catholics. They're like, you're part of the problem.
I could just say Christian. If I have a cross around my neck, who cares? But the fact that I couldn't have one of my best friends come with me to a place because of the color of her skin and the people that she chooses to have sex with is absurd and disgusting. Like, it's... I'm as disgusted by that as they apparently are by her living her life the way that makes her happy.
Well, because they can't tell the difference between a fact and an opinion.
Evidently so.
And that...
As the study has shown us.
And one of the problems that we have here, one of the reasons that this is the case in this country, a lot of this goes back to the Huffington Post. The Huffington Post is the point where...
You hate Ariana.
No, I don't hate Ariana. I'm actually a fan of Ariana. But the Huffington Post is the point where making money becomes more important than journalism.
I would say it's... Well, that's... And I mean, I guess that's a struggle in every part of...
They were...
This industry.
Clickbait pioneers.
Oh, totally. And they invented the term clickbait.
And advertorial pioneers. And because all of the money started going to them... All of the legitimate news outlets that used to put legitimate news out, your CNNs and your USA Todays, started doing the same thing. Until all you're left with is Reuters over in the corner and AP, which will barely let you have access to their news feed, turning out actual, meaningful, factual journalism. Everybody else is churning out garbage. Yeah. And I've actually watched Reuters go downhill in the last
10 year. 10 ways to know if your boyfriend's cheating on
you. not meaningful.
Honestly, I agree with you. I remember I used to look to the Huffington Post for the truth, for the thing that the news stations that aren't being funded by the 17 men that control our country telling the truth. And I remember the moment that I realized that it had taken a turn. It was something popped up just being like something just like what I just said, just like 10 of the cutest dog photos or something like that, where I was like, Huffington Post, you have lost all credibility.
Yeah.
In my eyes, you are now officially, you used to be the thing that didn't dive into that money making, I want to please daddy scheme. And now you've arrived there.
And they opened the door for Gawker and BuzzFeed and all of these others. Now, here's something else absolutely terrifying from this Pew survey.
Oh God, I'm going to puke.
In addition to the fact that most people can't get the facts and opinions right, only 26% can identify them, they found that people who disagree with facts label them as opinion. So if I put a fact in front of you and you don't like that fact...
Then it's just someone's opinion.
That's just someone's opinion.
But if you put someone's opinion in front of you and you do like that opinion, it's a fact.
That is a failure of our educational system. When you put a fact in front of someone and they say, that's not a fact because I disagree with it, that is a failure of our educational system.
I mean this in the least conceited way possible, but for so many years, I just thought people didn't like me.
That's a fact.
Just didn't like me because I'm going to punch you in the face. So many years I thought people just didn't like me. And then I realized it's just that they're all dum-dums.
Yeah.
This survey proves that. Not all of you are dum-dums. People listening, I don't think all of you are dum-dums. But there are so many people that made me feel terrible about myself for the last 32 years that I have realized in the last 10 were just people being like, I'm not as smart as you, so I'm going to make you feel bad about being smarter than me.
It is.
And that's this survey is the perfect example of that, with like people trying to convince me that I'm stupid for not being stupid, for understanding and being able to interpret, like, that is obviously bull. Like, yeah, that is obviously someone's opinion. That is obviously one side of a 19-sided story, whereas other people will go, oh yeah, cool, I'm gonna go get a manicure.
I will tell you this, stupid people do not last across from me on a microphone for more than a few seconds. You're here every week.
I was gonna say, we're going on 7 years now.
That's all the confirmation you need. 855-915-9636. On the Towel, Mikey D is coming up next. Our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week are coming up on the other side of this break. One thing that I will say to our listeners, and I hope you share this with other people that you know, we have tried to be part of the solution to this problem on this show for all the years that it's been on the air. And we will continue to do that, and we will redouble our efforts, because what Pew found is horrifying and terrifying and is a threat to our way of life, our government, our society.
Wise up, folks.
To the extent that we are able to provide facts and meaningful context.
It's literally terrifying. That's the proper word.
We had a very long conversation.
My head hurts about this.
We had a conversation early tonight about the photos and what conclusions we could draw from the photos for that exact reason. Anyway, when we come back, our favorite things from the past week, strangest things from the past week, right here on WMFO Medford.
Hey everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
MFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Belaine. With me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Derek Gary.
Hey-o.
We are wrapping things up here, and we're going to wrap it up with two wonderful segments. The first one being What's Hot, which is our favorite thing that's happened the past week, or the coming one. And for me, I'm so glad I discovered this. I can't wait to go, and I invite you all to come with me. There is an actual secret garden in Cambridge.
No, it's not a secret anymore. You told everybody that it's there.
Well, now I did.
There goes the secret. Way to go, Shay.
Well, it's...
Why don't you spoil the ending of Avengers Infinity War for us while you're at it?
Folks, I invite you to mail things to WMFO's offices for me to throw at Derek. But there is, so it's above a multi-story parking garage in Cambridge's Kendall Square. There's this little garden made up of tulips, trees, and rose bushes with benches and all this stuff. This isn't my fault now. It was undiscovered, but a few years back, they decided to put an actual signage and a ping pong table and all this stuff.
Are they growing to weeds up there?
But not yet, but give it time. But the garden still remains and is definitely worth a visit. So if you want to go, if you're like me and love the green things, I don't mean pot, I mean plants in general. But go to, there's a parking garage at 4 Cambridge Center. And then you can follow the signs that will show you this lovely green oasis. And it has an awesome view of Boston, which is just a fringe benefit.
So you're over the river looking at that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's right in Kendall. So it's very close to the Charles River.
Nice.
But I haven't gone yet. I like was just looking for something to do on my next day off. And this looks like it. So maybe you guys will see me there and you can see the tallness I talk about way too often.
Shay loves all plants, particularly the ones with THC in them.
Oh, yes. Those are my favorite ones, but I don't judge.
Huge update.
Nor do I discriminate.
Huge, huge, huge update coming this week, friends, to Pokemon Go.
I'm going to sleep for the next few minutes.
This is delivering some features that we were looking for from the very beginning. You will now be able to connect with friends by exchanging in-game codes. And once you set yourself up with a friend, all sorts of new things become open to you. You will be able to battle with your friends, which will make you stronger together and get you bonuses. Stop. You will be able to give each other gifts. Like, you'll get a gift at a Pokestop. You can't open it, but your friend can. And you will be able to trade Pokemon.
That's actually pretty cool.
Now,
I mean, I know this isn't my thing, but that sounds, it's more human interactive.
There is one huge drawback to the way that they've implemented this, and it is going to be controversial. You can't just trade Pokemon with people. You have to be friends, and you have to be at a certain level to trade rare Pokemon, including the regional exclusives. Which kind of defeats the purpose of the regional exclusives, which is, I can only get Mr. Mime in Europe. I can only get Taurus in the United States. Well, I'll go find somebody from Europe at a bar, and we can trade Pokemon. That's the way it should work with the regional exclusives. No, you got to be friends for a while, and you got to battle together, and you got to raise your friendship level, and then you can trade. And it's sort of like not what we were looking for with that feature. So, but enough good stuff. I trust Niantic that they'll figure that out.
I know and understand almost none of this, but this is the first time that I haven't wanted to shut you up because this actually sounds rather interesting for what it is.
PJ and I will be spending more time together.
I was going to say, just go to a tavern and talk to PJ about this.
Oh,
you're wasting your breath talking to me about it.
We'll be sharing our friend codes, I promise.
WMFO Medford, 91.5. You are listening to The Big Picture. We are wrapping things up here with That's a Thing That Happened, which is the craziest news story that we found last week. For me, a Texas man who pled guilty to stealing more than $1.2 million in fajitas while acting as a public servant.
Fajitas?
Has been sentenced to 50 years in prison. Gilbert Escamilla, 53, who was employed at the Daryl B. Hester Juvenile Detention Center in San Benito, Texas until August 2017, when it was discovered that he'd been placing orders for fajitas using county funds and then selling them for his own profit since December 2008. When sentenced, Escamilla was also served with a maximum fine of $10,000 on top of the $1,251,578.72 he was ordered to pay back for the cost of the fajitas.
He's not going to repay that $1.25 million.
According to the Crownsville Herald, Escamilla's scheme unraveled last August after a delivery driver with Labatt Food Service phoned the detention center to give kitchen employees a heads up that an 800-pound delivery of fajitas had arrived. Oh, yeah, he's going to jail for the rest of his life. He's 53. He has 50 years in prison.
Folks, steal big does not mean steal little over time. It means steal big.
It means steal big and then have no one know your name, what you look like, your driver's license number, your license plate number.
Florida.
Travis, it's always Florida.
Travis Byerly of Kentucky was pulled over in Clearwater, Florida. Police discovered two things. First, Mr. Byerly had no driver's license, as it had been suspended following a drunk driving conviction in Kentucky. Second, Mr. Byerly had a hatchet concealed between the driver's seat and the door. When asked why the hatchet was there, Mr. Byerly told police he needed it, quote, for protection from scumbags in Florida, end quote. Police charged him with carrying a